And we're back. This is the second time where we are meeting and interviewing Harry Styles on his new album. Hello, Harry. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Zane. Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. So, since the last time, a lot has changed. A lot of crazy things have happened in the world. And you are just starting to release your new album, Harry's House. Can we just talk about your nails?
Yeah. These nails are actually from my brand Pleasing second micro collection, Shroom Bloom.
I love them, and I love what you've done with Pleasing. I saw everybody at Coachella a couple weekends ago having all their nails done by the Pleasing pop-up. What made you want to create such an amazing company that can be used and appreciated by all sorts of demographics and everybody can enjoy it?
Well, I mean, I just really like to make things, and this is a perfect chance. And also, like, I'm a total control freak, and something like this, you have to really love what you're making, and this is something that I enjoy watching other people enjoy.
Totally. And you know, that is the same, I think it's the same that goes for you throughout your music. I think in this industry there's this like subliminal urgency to constantly feed the audience with new projects and new music. And I mean, we're not going to forget about the fact that this year is like your year. Like, you have so many things coming out, but you know, at the end of the day, you really have to love what you're putting out, otherwise it's just not worth it.
Exactly. Like, I feel a lot of pressure to keep making things, but honestly, if it's not gonna be my best work, I don't want it to be out. I want to spend my time on it and really, really love it. It's like a psychological game.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this industry, everybody wants to be loved and wants to be like on top all the time, but I think there's a sort of feeling of being at peace when, you know, you don't feel like you have to have control over that.
Yes, exactly.
So, in terms of timing, especially throughout the past few years, how is that important to you? Like, how do you separate your time to make music and to relax, and how do you balance your time between work and personal life?
Well, back in the band, I was really new to all of this, and I wasn't like spreading my time equally. And there comes a time when like you're missing birthdays and you're not getting invited to these things, and you have to really prioritize the people in your life over your job.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally agree. I think everybody kind of, you know, if they're at the top for, you know, however long, you're always feeling like you have to stay on top, but it's also important to slow down in order to have quality opportunities and quality music to be put out.
Yeah, I mean, with the pandemic, everything kind of slowed and felt a little less competitive, which is nice. It kind of changed my attitude, and I realized that I can't be forced to be something that I'm not, and I don't have to be that music guy.
Yeah. You know, how has your self-reflection during the pandemic changed your attitude to always feeling like you have to be on top? Because, I mean, you had this height in the band, and, I mean, during, like, Fine Line, like, you had all these hit songs, and you know, you still do, but throughout the pandemic, I feel like everybody's had that kind of stage of self-reflection. How has that changed your attitude?
Well, I mean, I was really scared. I mean, when you're doing this all on your own, it's so much different. And it's like, are these people actually here because they like me? You kind of have to think about those things. Makes you doubt yourself.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you're performing, especially, I think the people in the crowd are all just like, you know, they just want you to have a good time. And I feel like we as fans, you know, I'm calling myself a fan here, we feel like we take on that responsibility of, you know, you having a good time. But can you tell us what it's really like to perform?
Well, I mean, especially all alone, it's a lot different. It's pretty scary coming out of being hibernated for so long, and it really feels different, and I felt disconnected for a while. But a crowd full of people that come here with the sole intention of making me happy, making me feel comfortable, it really makes me feel cared for. It's really liberating.
Yeah. And you know, I think when you were in, if you don't mind me talking about the band, you know, your experience, you know, with a lot of different other people, performing to a crowd is a lot different than I feel like performing solo,
because,
you know, when you're singing to a big crowd of people who kind of, not praise, but like look up to a group of people, it's almost like you're disconnected from them a little bit.
Yeah, I was very much like kind of viewed as a symbol, but now I feel like it's a little different than that, and the reaction's a lot different. It's like at Coachella, everyone there, they weren't there just for me, but they gave me so much respect, and it was really a new feeling. Like, I'm used to having the big arenas, but that was something else.
Yeah, and I feel like being in a big band sometimes, I mean, it could have prepared you for this. You know, while performing at Coachella, for example, do you feel like being in a big band with, you know, performing in stadiums, has that prepared you, and do you see it differently now to perform in front of that many people?
For sure. I mean, I started in a band, I was 16. It was crazy, but I had to learn really quickly, and that's always stuck with me. It was terrifying for the first time alone, but now I kind of love it.
Totally, and it must be kind of a relief to have fans and people who really do care about you, you know?
Yeah.
So, talking more about Coachella, it must be a relief to know that you are finishing your album and performing at Coachella and your one night only show.
Mm-hmm. It was terrifying. It was so scary. For the first time in a long, long time, it was new music, and when I hear the fans singing louder than me, it made me realize like how much comfort it all brought me. It was truly surreal.
Yeah, I mean, since, at least for the one night only show, people only heard the music like a couple hours before, is that right?
Yeah, they gobbled it up. They knew. They were screaming.
Oh, they were, because, you know, even witnessing that, and they didn't even know the lyrics for that long, but the fact that they even could memorize some of them in about a few hours is crazy. And, you know, is it kind of weird to sing new songs to the people? I mean, this is more at Coachella because you hadn't released Boyfriends or Lena Talking, but, you know, is it weird to have all of them quiet when you're trying to sing?
It is very weird. It's also like different than usual. Even with songs that aren't studio released, they knew them, but I couldn't hear them singing. It was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even imagine what that would be like to perform in front of that many people, and, you know, a brand new song and stuff. You know, from the last album, Fine Line and Ace Just One, is the songs different because of how you've grown, or are they different just because of like the experience you've had while making them?
I've definitely learnt from experience, but I've also been really wanting to try out this style of song for a while, so it's always been on my mind. And some of that is kind of similar. Right after Fine Line, I started writing Boyfriends, but I didn't put it in there, which just wasn't the time.
Yeah. So when you wrote Boyfriends, which is one of my favorite tracks on the album, it is, you know, it's very, it's kind of a symbol of self-reflection, and you have to be very, you know, not confident, but like you have to be able to realize the mistakes you've made to write a song like that, and you know, you have to have at least had some type of experience with someone treating you badly, or at least seeing someone treat someone else. So can you talk to us about just kind of,
well,
the making of it?
Yeah, it was definitely different. I finished Fine Line and I had this extra week when I wrote Adore You, Lights Up, Treat People with Kindness, and then we started writing Boyfriends, and it felt like, okay, there's a version of the story where we're gonna get a good song from this album.
Yeah,
it's a definitely different version of like this usual story, like a breakup. And also like with the music, I was like, let's not rush it. We did many versions, and I mean, I'm learning a lot, and this song is kind of my way of saying like, I'm hearing you, I'm acknowledging my behavior and behavior I witnessed through like my sister bringing home so many guys.
Yeah, totally. You know, I think that that a song like that is something that is very relatable for a lot of people, and even men hearing this song has probably treated someone badly, and I think that also gives them a chance for self-reflection, so I really respect that.
For sure.
I just found out a few days ago that Ben Harper's guitar is actually played in Boyfriends, and you asked for it back, is that correct?
I did. I didn't know when was the right time for that, and I didn't think that was the right time.
Time for what?
The guitar.
Yeah, you know, I heard that it was like a gift of someone else's, and you had to get it back, but it was totally worth it. You know, Ben Harper is another person who writes from that self-aware perspective.
Yes.
Like,
I truly admire his work.
Yeah, and you know, that as well is just so fitting for this song, so you know, I really respect that.
Thank you.
So, you know, moving on to another song with lyrics that are very deep, but also tell a story about someone else. Matilda. Can you talk to us about kind of the making of Matilda and the story? You know, you don't have to obviously say who it's about, but, you know.
I mean, Matilda's definitely one of those songs that I knew people were going to have that sort of reaction about. And it is based on experience I had with someone where I was getting to know them, we were talking, they were telling me stuff about their childhood. I was like, oh, that's not normal. Like, I think maybe you should get some help or something. And this song kind of is an homage to them and their experience, so that people in that experience don't feel that alone. And like, I'm paying attention to you, I'm listening, I want to support you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, at least a lot of the fans, you know, at One Night Only, people were crying, I was crying, it was amazing. And the, you know, the lyrics where you say, it's none of my business, but it's just been on my mind.
Yes, like, I knew it wasn't my place to go into that situation. They're my friend, I didn't know them very long, but I felt like comparing it to the classic novel Matilda by Roald Dahl kind of was very fitting.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of talks about her as a grown woman.
Yeah, like kind of looking back on what happened, like Matilda, the 30-year-old woman.
Yeah, I love that, and I think that it's, you know, it's more important because it's not really about you, but you're kind of the other perspective that people can find themselves in.
Yeah, I kind of had to remove myself in this album.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about more songs, for example, cinema, you know, you use different musicality than you did in Fine Line. Can you kind of walk us through the making of and, you know, experience using new sounds and not just like acoustic?
Yeah, I mean, I was on the treadmill going do-do-do-do-do-do. I tend to do so much right in the studio, but this one, like, I took it and I was like, okay, I want to make this a fun one. We've got 2 months to grind it out, and in the studio, it's like, we've been in here for so long, you need something to get you going, you need something, energy, something that people could go off and live their lives with.
Yeah, I think cinema's, I mean, at least I love to work out to it. It's upbeat, it's fun, and, you know, it kind of brings some light to the album, which is sort of dark. And, you know, this new album is very bare, it's raw, it's you. I think that's what makes this album feel like home to you, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's all in the spirit, what Harry's house is about. Pretty acoustic. I mean, my house is intimate. I wanted to make this album feel intimate. And that's the whole concept of the songs. I tried to apply that, take a new meaning.
Well, where did the name of that? I'm just curious, like, where did the name of Harry's house come from? Because it's a wonderful name for this album. It is definitely a representation of all the tracks on this album.
Well, it's named after Hosono. He's the Japanese pop pioneer, Hiromi. He had an album in the 70s called Hosono House. So I was like, what would Harry's house look like? And it's not a geographical location, but the people you're with, that's what I think home is. It's not external, it's internal.
And I think one of your songs... one of your songs talks about leaving home, and I think that is Love My Life.
Yes.
You know, talks about your love for England and, you know, moving to America and all of that. You know, through quarantine and the pandemic or whatever, you went back and forth, is that correct, from LA to England?
That is correct. At one point, I even drove my car to Italy.
What?
That was very self-reflective, a time in my life. I drove down there alone, and I went back with one of my friends. That was special.
Yeah, and I mean, I would love to drive to Italy listening to all these amazing songs. You know, I just love... My favorite, can I just tell you about my favorite track on the album?
Please do, please do.
It is Daylight. I cannot get away from it. It is just my favorite.
I'm so glad you said that. Daylight was, looking back, kind of pains me to think about the process. I mean, we're in the studio, we were writing, and we powered on. We powered through the night. Like, it's daylight. Okay. Like, that's just the place where we felt was right. Like in surfing, for example, sometimes you don't get the wave, and sometimes the wave comes and you haven't practiced. But every now and again, the wave comes and you're ready. You've practiced enough that you can ride it.
That is a beautiful analogy. Can we just give a round of applause, please?
Thank you, thank you.
You know, talking about having to ride the wave, like you said, you haven't practiced, you don't really know what it's like. When you were in the band and you were all new to this, how is it different now to feel like... Beep!
Flag it.
You know, talking about having to ride a wave, and sometimes you don't really be able to get up, you know.
Yeah, like, I find myself falling off the board a bunch, but it's for this moment. It just builds up experience.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, as we finish up this talk about, you know, as we've, like,
who was that?
So as we finish up talking about the album and, you know, all the songs in the album,